The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
And you keep on bringing us these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Well, after a school in the Issaquah School District decided that they were not going to allow a pair of elementary school students to move forward with an interfaith club, the First Liberty Institute got involved. And when they get involved, that usually means we're going to get a good old lawsuit that will start to change the direction of individual districts. Joining me on the line is an attorney who is helping these two kids, Kayla Toney. Kayla, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is an interesting case in that, at least on the surface, it doesn't appear that the principal said, we don't want a religious club. It was the manner in which it was denied, but others were not denied. So take us through some of these details.
Yes. We represent Laura, a fifth grade student at Creekside Elementary School in Sammamish, Washington. And she approached her principal in February with a simple request, saying she'd like to start a prayer club where she could get together with friends from different faiths and they could do community service and pray together. And the principal said no. And the reason she gave was that clubs had already been established for the year back in October. Now, nobody knew that. Apparently, there was a meeting that was not publicized when the budget was decided on in October, as far as we can tell. But the Pride Club had been allowed to start just a week before Laura's request in February. And it's our understanding that the Marimba Club is supposed to start in a couple of weeks here toward the end of the school year. And so it just didn't seem like equal treatment. Mm-hmm. And the Constitution and the Supreme Court guarantee equal treatment for religious clubs. So if a school allows at least one non-curricular club, it could be the chess club or the choir club or really any on any topic, then it must allow a faith-based club as well.
Do you suspect that this was just given as an excuse to not allow for the club because of its religious characteristics?
That is what we suspect. Unfortunately, this does feel like pretty clean-cut discrimination against a faith-based club. We think especially the fact that it's open to all faiths, that it involves community service. I mean, mm-hmm. It really would be a great club for the school. And Laura's vision is to bring students together and to just be told, no, there's no possible way was very difficult for her to hear. She was also told that she could apply to rent space as if she were an outside organization. But
yeah, how much would that cost?
Have to do that. Well, we're not sure, but she's 11 years old.
Yeah, and probably can't afford it, is my guess.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right,
There's some irony in all of this, because it sounds like the reason why Laura decided to move forward with this club was so that she and other religious students could feel a little bit more welcome in the school, only to be then told, yeah, you're definitely not welcome. Sorry. Unless you want to rent the space, then we'll go ahead and allow it.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And there's even a poster in Laura's classroom that says your voice matters, but the experience she's had makes her feel like her voice doesn't matter at all.
What was or have you had a response yet from the district? Because I know that you had written a letter to the school saying you can't do this. Did they respond?
Not yet. We sent the letter on April 9, giving them 2 weeks to respond. The school did send a newsletter to parents yesterday, you know, mentioning the significant media attention about this matter and saying that they're doing an investigation. But we don't know what that involves or, you know, what the outcome will be. So we've told them if they do not grant Laura's request by April 22nd, that we plan to go to court and, yeah, to sue if necessary to vindicate her First Amendment rights.
Do you believe that if there truly is no funding, that it might be a reasonable place for a school to say, well, we can't officially accept you the way that we otherwise would? Let's say we lived in a world in which, you know, the other clubs that you mentioned, the Marimba, what was it, the Marimba Club, and yeah, one of the gay straight clubs, they got the remaining funds. That was them at the school level trying to be fair and just giving what they could, and now they legitimately have no more money. Would that matter as far as the law is concerned about accepting this interfaith group?
Yes and no. The law guarantees equal treatment. And so if other clubs receive funding, then religious clubs need to be able to as well. But I'm very curious about the rationale of needing funding, because it's a very well-to-do school district. If they were to run a fundraiser, I'm sure that people in the community would want to support. Laura even offered to run a fundraiser if funds were an issue, and the principal did not take her up on that. And also, all they need is an adult to supervise. And given that teachers are salaried, you would think that a teacher could, you know, stop by during the club to make sure it was going well, or even parent volunteers would be happy to help. So I'm still not convinced that that is a legitimate rationale.
Is there a staff member who has stepped forward to say that they would oversee the club?
Laura said yes.
Yeah, so then it doesn't seem like there's that big of an issue, frankly. What kind of funding was she asking for?
She wasn't asking for funding at all. That was the principal's response, saying that that was necessary. Her idea is to just gather with other students to pray, to do some community service projects. Mm-hmm. Nothing they're doing would require funds. All they need is, you know, a friendly adult who's happy to supervise.
And my guess is, because I imagine maybe someone is listening saying, well, she can still get together with whomever she wants and they can pray however they want and still do community service. But that's not really the point here. I mean, I imagine she's going to do that anyway. But the point is about the recognition and how this is a club that's just not being recognized by a public school.
That's right. And the Supreme Court has recognized that in a case called Good News Club back in 2001. Yep. They held that an elementary school had to allow a religious club because it allowed other clubs, and that it had to have all the same benefits. So, for example, if other clubs are allowed to advertise over the morning announcements, or if they're allowed to hang up a poster inviting students to their meeting, t-shirts, yearbook, you know, other forms of spreading the word, then the Christian club needs to be allowed to do that as well. And just recently, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a very strong case on behalf of Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They held that a Christian club or a religious club can't be treated with hostility, or, you know, its recognition can't be revoked because of its belief. It was a very strong ruling and really helpful to students like Laura, who just want to be able to express their faith and be treated equally with other clubs.
We're talking with attorney Kayla Toney. She is representing the First Liberty Institute. They are representing two elementary school students who are going up against their school in the Issaquah School District. It's Creekside Elementary over in Sammamish. The principal apparently said no to forming a club because deadlines had passed and budgets are depleted, and yet it would appear that two other groups were given the thumbs up in under similar circumstances, including a pride club. So moving forward, you know, I imagine you guys are ready to go in front of a judge if need be. It feels like, and you made reference to this when you first promoted this lawsuit, or at least the Institute promoted the lawsuit, pointing to the Bremerton case with Coach Joe Kennedy, who, you know, his case went all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States, and they determined that the Bremerton School District was wrong to stop him from praying, from punishing him for praying. It feels like Washington is becoming potentially a state in which, as much as I know you guys don't want to have to go through these legal cases, is establishing, for the better, religious freedoms.
We hope so, yes. And I'm so glad you mentioned that case. Bremerton, as you said, is not far from Sammamish. And the subject matter is related to Coach Joe Kennedy won his right to pray. It was a long, drawn-out fight, and he would have been very happy to just continue his quiet practice of prayer if the school district had allowed for that. But they didn't, and so we fought it all the way to the Supreme Court, and we are ready here as well. We just hope that that's not necessary because the school can allow Laura and her friends to pray and to serve the community as they want. And we think, you know, certainly since an employee has the freedom to pray on the public school campus, how much more does a student? That's, you know, a very strong right, and it's protected by both the Free Speech Clause and the Free Exercise Clause. They work together, and so the First Amendment really provides double protection. Yeah. That's how the Supreme Court and Kennedy described it, for religious students and religious people who want to be able to speak about their faith and to pray together.
How often do you run into these kinds of cases around the country, and how often do the schools cave after you threaten litigation?
You know, that's a great question. It really depends on the school. It depends on the issue. We do find that a lot of schools are willing to do the right thing once we threaten a lawsuit. And that's why in this situation, we did send a demand letter first. We could certainly have already sued, and we are more than ready mm-hmm. to if necessary. But our hope is that we can have a faster resolution. And that's really the goal here, because lawsuits take time. And while they can set a good precedent, our goal here is that Laura and her friends can pray.
And yeah, she might be in high school by the time.
Our hope is that they'll do the right thing.
Yeah, she might be in high school or even a graduate by the time this ends up getting figured out. And that's the, you know, the sad part of the legal system. It's just it does take a long time. Do you get the sense that often you're dealing with schools that are acting in bad faith, or is it sometimes they're just making a mistake and they need to be, you know, reminded in a slightly more aggressive way than normal?
It's hard to say. It really does depend on the school district. And, you know, we're trying to get a sense of whether this one will be as litigious as Bremerton or whether they'll be willing to see the light sooner. And we're hopeful, but we'll have to see just how they respond.
Well, we'll certainly be keeping an eye out to see how they respond. And please, once they do respond, let us all know. I think this is an important one. And it's an important case for parents out there who maybe have kids in the Issaquah School District or anyone in Washington State who values religious freedoms. You might want to support First Liberty. You might want to stand up and speak out, because if this happens there, it's going to happen in your kid's school district, and it's not going to end. Again, the website, by the way, firstliberty.org, firstliberty.org. We've been talking with attorney Kayla Toney. Kayla, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into some quick hits.